This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Just looking at Alex Sutton, you'd never know that he was critically injured a few years ago. Alex was on his sixth tour of military duty in 2008 when an explosion in Iraq blew off his legs. The blast killed his comrades. Alex lived and now walks with a pair of titanium limbs. But finding his way back to physical health was easy compared to finding his place in society after years of combat. Alex took an unexpected turn from fighting to farming. He now raises heirloom chickens in Jackson Springs, North Carolina.
You get that same rush in a different way, as you control their life. You're the ones that they depend on. They're like my soldiers, you know? They depend on me. There's days I don't feel like getting out of bed, but I have to. Because if I don't feed them, then they'll die.
Alex's transition into agriculture is being documented by a team of filmmakers from a local artist collective called Vittles. I'm joined by some of them now, Alex Blair, Jeremy Lang, and D.L. Anderson, all producers of the film The Farmer Veteran Project. D.L. is also co-director and co-founder of Vittles. Welcome to all of you. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
So, Alex, I understand that you were the first person on the team to meet Alex Sutton, and were taken by his story. Tell us more about his story.
So I met Alex through my last job. I was working with the Rural Advancement Foundation, and they were coordinating with the Farmer Veteran Coalition, which is a national group that helps connect veterans with farms. And I went out with Michael O'Gorman, who's the founder of the Farmer Veteran Coalition, and some folks from the Rural Advancement Foundation to Alex's farm and met him and his now wife, Jessie. They just got married. And just was so moved by the sincerity of his desire to transition from, he's been in the military since he was 17 and then had this experience where his legs were destroyed, and he also has PTSD pretty severely, and then this sincere desire to want to still serve his country but through farming and through raising heritage poultry.
And he was a sniper.
He was a sniper, yes.
So this is very personal. He has taken
very
human
personal.
Life. He has seen people in the crosshairs.
Absolutely.
Literally.
And he lives with that every day. Every day.
Tell us about the and how much of that did he reveal? How much did he tell you about his experience as a soldier?
I mean, so Jeremy and I are the filmmakers on it, and Alex really, really believes that through sharing his story that he can make a difference for other veterans, and he really believes in helping connect veterans with farming, because there's a really huge crossover between the skills that make you a good soldier and the skills that would make you a good farmer. And he's so honest. I mean, he's really open with us. We're really humbled by how much he's willing to share. And also with his memories, when he shares them with us, it really triggers his PTSD. So when he talks to us, he is looking forward to 2 to 3 days of really struggling with the things that come up. So he really believes he can make a difference by sharing the story, and we believe we can make a difference by letting this film be a catalyst for that discussion of how can we serve our returning soldiers and how can we support them in integrating into civilian life. And 45% of returning soldiers are from rural communities, so I mean, it makes sense.
Tell us about this idea, the idea of where it came from, connecting veterans with the land.
I mean, I think that's an idea that the veterans probably started themselves. I mean, especially if they are from rural communities and they have a farming background. I mean, that's something that they're doing. And then Michael O'Gorman, who's this leading organization helping connect farmers, veterans with farms, he's really initiating that relationship between folks coming back who don't know what else they can do that would give them as much meaning as they had in their military experience. Because it's, you know, we're a voluntary military, so it's people going in because they want to, for the most part, and then they come back and they still have that desire to serve, but finding a way that's as meaningful for them. And it seems like, from the veteran farmers we've been talking to, that farming can do that.
Does it, Jeremy, when Alex Sutton first was confronted with the idea of becoming a farmer, what was his background, and did it seem difficult transition for him at first, or was it a pretty logical move?
He's from a rural area, but was not specifically farming as a child. So I think when he came back and through some of the programs like the Farmer Veteran Coalition, he was sort of introduced to the idea, and he could identify, you know, some of the things that he really enjoyed about being a soldier, you know, the physical work, the camaraderie, the dependency, the sense of duty could be largely fulfilled through farming.
And he talks about that in the film, and I want to play another clip now from the Farmer Veteran Project.
Since I was 17, I've been in the military, and all I've been doing is serving my country. And just because I'm hurt doesn't mean I want to stop doing that. When I retired from the military, I was 100% disabled. They said, no, I'm not employable, I'm not to be working, I'm not to be doing anything, you know. They messed me up so bad, they just want me to sit back and enjoy the years that I have. Well, I can't do that. I mean, that was my destiny. That's what I was made for, was to serve my country. And I still want to do it. It's just I have to figure out a different way to do it.
It's interesting, Jeremy, that Alex Sutton in the film Farmer Veteran Project, Jeremy, the idea that he does connect this is service. This is just an extension of what he was doing, that sustainable agriculture is a service to his country.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Alex, he's one of these people whose just sense of duty in giving back to the country that he feels has given him a lot is, you know, is made one of his main driving forces in his life. And he would not be happy, you know, sitting around watching TV. I mean, he could, you know. I mean, like he said, he's completely disabled. He's 100% disabled, according to the military.
You could hear in that clip the sounds of a lot of the medications that he is on to alleviate PTSD. And it's, you know, has some negative effects.
Tell us about the operation, DL, his operation in the poultry operation. Who wants to talk about that?
I think Alex can speak to the specifics. I have not personally crawled around in the chicken poop as Alex has.
I mean, he has over 100 chickens, and he has ducks, and he has geese, and he has pigs and goats. But his focus is on the poultry. And his wife, Jessie, really supports him. I mean, he says very much that, like, he couldn't do it without her help. And he pushes himself so hard. I mean, Jeremy has a great statement where he's weakened, but he's not weak by any means. I mean, he has this pride and the sense of duty that it just doesn't go away because he's not a soldier or sniper anymore.
He's using sustainable practices?
His farm, I mean, I'm not sure he would call it a sustainable farm, but yes, he's very much about self-sufficiency and about feeding his community.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Just yesterday in the North Carolina legislature, two Republican lawmakers struck the words, tried to. They actually offered an amendment that would have stricken the word sustainability from the reauthorization of the Local Food Advisory Council, which promotes jobs in sustainable agriculture, because they said it was part of a United Nations plot. No, they actually are legislators. So welcome to the John Birch Society. You know, okay, so you don't have to do psychiatric testing to get a job in the legislature, but the 55 people actually voted for it. So it's kind of scary to think that this guy who has a sense of duty to agriculture is being called part of a plot to undermine America by his own legislature.
I mean, it seems to me if there are lawmakers who would rather talk about, like, the semantics of farming rather than helping the people who have been overseas fighting for wars that they most likely supported in the first place, that's just – it's a bit unfortunate in our minds. I mean – sustainability is self-sufficiency, and this is what a lot of these men and women want. They just want to be able to make their own way when they come home. So,
DL, what are people doing? This film, of course, focuses on one soldier and his life in agriculture. Now, what are some of the other things that veterans do when they come back after this kind of catastrophic wounding?
Most just try to find a place where they can return to regular life. There is a transition that has to take place, and the transition may never be complete. In working with Alex and Jeremy on this story, we've talked about this extensively. That you're really striving to find that place where you were before you left, knowing that you may never get back there. And you know, this is what we, as filmmakers, as storytellers, are trying to explore. Is this idea that perhaps farming, perhaps working with the land is a way to reconnect, is a way to find at least some grounding and interrupt dark memories of war and find life. And, you know, there's a clip in our trailer where he's just holding a chicken and it's just hatched. And you can tell that, you know, he's glad to be surrounded by life.
It's amazing to think about a man whose job it was in our name to take human life, his relationship with these animals and the way he nurtures life on that farm is pretty incredible. Alex, can you describe it for us?
I mean, it is really, really incredible. There's not any sense that he's, being overly dramatic about his feelings. He holds that, like Derek was saying, this bird that has just hatched out of his egg, and he knows that he helped give it life. And one thing that I find really interesting, this dichotomy, is he talks about this God complex that he had as a sniper. Like, he controlled life and death. And he feels that still now. He has, but in a sense of he's giving life, and that is helping him to survive the experience that he's going to carry with him for the rest of his life.
Let's listen to another clip.
I sit out there for hours at times, just with my chickens, and they just peck out of my hand, and it's just amazing feeling. It just feels so nice to have so much life around you, to see stuff born, to see stuff grow.
You want a story like this to work, Alex. I want to ask you, maybe ask you all as filmmakers, you meet a man like this, you have to fall in love with the story. What do you do as a filmmaker, someone who's going to produce a documentary, to give yourself some distance, some level of objectivity?
Oh, man. I mean, I think that's a constant question in making documentaries. What are the boundaries between? Obviously, I mean, Jeremy and I have been filming now for many months, and we go out there and we share meals with them, and we, deeply, deeply care about them. But I think at the end of the day, having the story come first, and I think being really honest with what our intention is and what our final product is, and so that there's never any sense of us taking advantage of what they're being willing to share with us, is really important. And constantly having that communication of where we're going, but it's inevitable if you care about the story. And I mean, I would think that Jeremy and I care really deeply about them.
How do you do that though, Jeremy? Go ahead. Yeah, follow up.
I mean, Alex and Jessica are friends, and I don't think either one of us would deny that we care about them immensely. So, I mean, in the truest sense of the word objective, you know, I don't know if that's possible, but we have a responsibility to tell the truth and be honest about what we see to them and to the, you know, to the viewers. And I think that's really all you can ask is, you know, we're telling you what we see, what we feel. And I think, and how Alex and Jessica feel. And I think that's the key.
It's an idea. It's an idea that may not work at the end of the day. You know, it's a cause of that, you know, a lot of people feel is a solution. And what we're doing is exploring this possible solution. It might work, you know, but again, farming is not a cakewalk. It's not easy. And the state of farming is not very open for new farmers to come in and to establish farms. It's not an environment that's easy by any means.
Tell us a little bit more about the Vittles Collaborative. This is not the only film that you've done that in some way or another involves food.
That's correct. The word Vittles it means edible provisions. It's kind of an Appalachian Southern twist on the word victuals, which is made popular by the Beverly Hillbillies. It's based on Latin word victus. And in the Vittles form of storytelling, we use food as a vehicle or a pathway to tell a deeper story about people and to explore complex questions that arise from the intersections of people and food, such as, can you interrupt the painful dark memories of war.
How did you get the idea? Where did this idea come from?
This idea came from working at The Independent and wanting to produce films where people could connect one film to the other as a series. So it's a series of films. And we thought this was going to be a short documentary when we started, but now we're looking at perhaps this being a much longer piece. It can't fit within the documentary time frame.
And in fact, I think the first film was about a colleague at the Indy, right?
That's correct. It was about a reporter, Joe Schwartz, and his relationship with his neighbors. Joe lived next to these folks for 3 years before actually saying anything more than hello. And it was an invitation to please teach me how to make Chinese food. And turns out that his family has a much deeper connection with them. And it's a really amazing story, just told through the lens of food.
And another film about coffee tasting.
That's right. Cafe Sense is a film we're very proud of. We have been working on for some time and explores the world of coffee as told through a visually impaired man, Kyle, who goes to coffee cuppings and kind of coffee cuppings are where you taste and relate and try to bring out flavors in coffee next to each other. And Kyle has a pretty unique perspective on that.
Well, when getting back to this film, the Farmer Veteran Project, I know you've got a lot of fundraising events and screenings planned. Can you give us an idea what's coming up for that film?
Sure. I mean, we've taken most of our pointers on fundraising from you, from WUNC. You know, yeah. You guys do such a fine
We're
job.
We're good at it.
Yes.
Call now.
Yeah. So from now until midnight, if you donate to Vittles through our Kickstarter, The Cookery has pledged to match your donations for up to $1,000. And The Cookery is a food incubator here in Durham. And they're going to be opening an event space in the fall. And we've been working with them to plan a series of screenings and dinners with them. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, there will be an incredible five-course meal at Vin Rouge, prepared by Matt Kelly and featuring all sorts of locally sourced food, including a soup made with peaky toe crab, which is something I'm very curious about.
That actually sounds like an affliction, but I'm sure it's very good. All right, so you got some good stuff coming up. Those are two. I've got a couple more here, and I just want to thank you because we're out of time now. But thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
I'm talking to D.L. Anderson and Jeremy Lang, Alex Blair, all producers of the Farmer Veteran Project. D.L. is also co-director of Vittles. So here's a couple things coming up tomorrow night, 7:30, Vin Rouge hosting a fundraiser, five-course meal, $100 on July 15th, a screening at Cafe Senses, Capital Club 16 in Raleigh. You can get more information, vittles.us. Is that it? Vittles.us with an S at the end, vittles.us for more information and screenings. And we're going to be live in Greensboro this Friday. You can be in the audience. Our guest, Liz Seymour, she's an anarchist, but she's managed to pull together the Interactive Resource Center, which does all kinds of great things for people who are homeless. We're going to have a kid-friendly band there, Big Bang Boom. They're going to be playing rock music, and the kids are going to be there. We want you there, too. Live Triad Stage Friday. You can be there, RSVP at WUNC.org. Friday, June 22nd. Hope to see you there. Thanks for listening to our program. Our website is stateofthings.org, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.